big hand of praise for Mary Beth. I always love to hear her speak. She's always got these good messages that touch your heart in a special way, and grateful for what God is doing in our midst, because He's really drawing us closer to Him. I mean, that's the real awesome thing. As it seems like God is fading out of everyone, but yet He's drawing those special individuals to Him. And to embrace it, I mean, God is real, and He's alive. And there is a world that He exists in, and it's an eternal realm, and we need to embrace it. And truly, we can live in a place rather than living in the world. When we live in the world is consumes us, and it steals our peace, it steals our joy, it makes us sick. Almost that the experience that you had where it was dark and gloomy and just feeling sick, it took life out of you, and then you were able to see life in another way. And that's what's wonderful about God, because God gives you the eyes to be able to see life. And without life, we're dead. And so we need to hear the truth. Kurt mentioned something earlier. Pastor Kurt said, you know, it wasn't the man, it was the ministry. And Paul, identical. I feel my life is identical to Paul. And he says that, you know, it's not the man. It's the steward of the grace of God. And we are stewards of this grace of God, which is a privilege, not to boast, but it's a privilege to give God honor and glory. And in Scripture, it's almost the identical words that you spoke, that Paul spoke in the book. And so I'm grateful for what he has done. And if you're listening online or if you're here today, God has a special message for you. For us to come to a knowledge and an understanding in this realm of grace, I want to call it. I want to talk about sin. Not only do I want to talk about sin, but I want to talk about what is sin. Not everybody understands what it is to be free from sin. Not everybody understands what it is to be in the world, but not of the world. How do you get out of the world when you live in the world? I'm in the world, but how do you get out of the world? How do you get out of sin? How do you get free from sin? You know, I understand the majority of the mindset of people, because most of them are trying to find salvation. Most of them are trying to find peace and joy. Most of them are trying to find a life, but they feel awkward trying to find it. And they want to go into the church. They don't know how to get into the church. It's awkward. They feel as though that they have to leave everything. They have to stop living a life to try to find a life in holiness. And God is speaking to me and saying, I'm holy and I want you to be holy. But I want to take out the pressures and I want to take out the confusion of what is holiness. And I want you to be able to live your life and have joy. How many people realize that when you thought to come to God that you had to actually lose your life in the sense of your friends, the enjoyment, the party, the outgoing, you know, the teasing and the poking and the fun? I mean, I knew when I was younger, that's what I thought. I said, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to find God right now. I want to live for a little bit, and I'll find God when I'm like ready to settle down. Well, God is like saying, I made you just the way you are. When my life was changed, and many of you know my testimony, I had a very dramatic experience, and I saw paradise, and I spoke to Jesus. I saw God. A lot of people may not be able to believe that, but my life is fruit of it, and those that are close to me can be witnesses of it. With that being said, I came back onto this earth, and I said, I don't want to change. I don't want to have to put on the collar. I don't want to have to, like, be all stout and, you know, I can't even speak. I don't even have proper grammar. You want me to learn, like, trying to be educated here. I don't want to be educated. I want to be simple. I want to be fun. I want to be just the way I am. And God spoke and he says, I made you just the way you are. You're going to be just the way you are. You're not going to change. What's going to change is the inside, not the outside, the inside. The inside, you're going to have love. You're going to have compassion. You're going to have mercy. You're going to have patience. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to still be as goofy and funny and weird, and you're still going to not have any judgment, because here's a quick story. Sarah and the girls were out with her friend, and the parents, I have a feeling they really want to come to this place, and I can't wait for them to come through that door. She's over here drinking wine and getting a little tipsy, I guess, and she comes out and she says, would your father approve of this? Knowing that I was a pastor. And the girls were like, are you kidding me? He'll probably encourage you and try to get you even drunk. And that's what God wants. He don't want us to walk in judgment. He wants us to understand what conviction is. He wants us to understand what it is to follow when he knocks on your heart. When he knocks, we listen. And so I want to talk about sin, and I want to talk about what sin is. You know, religion says that we're all sinners. I want to say yes, but I want to say no. And the reason why I want to say no, and then I'll tell you the reason why I want to say yes, is because of the fact that I'm going to say the no part. We're not bad people. We're not bad. We're not evil. We're good people. We're not intentionally trying to do wrong. We just do it. But it's not bad. How many people begin to understand that one? We put labels on things like drinking is bad, smoking is bad, you know, saying a curse word is bad, and, you know, getting angry is bad, and all these things, and we just put labels on that, and that's from tradition. Traditions of trying to find holiness without grace. Grace gives you the knowledge of what holiness is. And this is why I'm so glad that we're coming to a place of being stewards of this grace. We're coming into liberty, as Kurt mentioned earlier. We're coming into a place of independence, freedom. And today is Independence Day, or Independence Weekend. And, you know, to be free from sin and death and having a life is probably one of the greatest gifts that we could have. And so what I want to kind of share is, like, coming out of the world into the kingdom of God and being saved by grace, not religion. So that was kind of like the moral of this message. Coming out of the world into the kingdom of God, or into a place of paradise, or into a place of God, and then being saved by grace, being saved with a knowledge and not religion. Religion kills. How many people understand religion kills? It cookie cutters you, it conforms you, and it makes you something that you really aren't. And God is saying, you're holy already. You were born in my image, and you're holy already. Were we born in sin? Yes, we were born in the world. The world in itself is considered sin. Now we got to find out, what is sin? What is really sin? I want to call it lust. Lust is really sin. But when we look at the definition of lust, right away we think sexual, right? We think of, you know, sex in some way. Oh, you have lust. You're lustful. You're you bad person, you. You got lust. But that has nothing to do with a sexual situation. Lust is a passionate desire. A passionate desire. And when you have a passionate desire of the world, That's what's living sin. That's what sin is. Sin is having a passionate desire for things, in general, just things. And let me break it down with some scripture here, because I want to show you here. It says here in Ephesians 2, chapter 1, or verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. And he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to prince of the powers of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly place in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And I'm grateful for what Pastor Kurt said earlier about the ministry being given to grace. And it's not that we boast in works, it's a gift that has been given to us. And this gift is allowing us to be able to live our lives the way we want to live and still have wants, still have desires. You know, a lot of people feel that they can't have anything or they can't desire anything. And God is just saying you can have, you can want, you can desire everything you want. Everything is good. Not all things are edifying, but everything is good. What causes us to live in sin is when that lustful, passionate desire rules us and robs us and creates us to have like an addiction, so to say, where we can't just do things in moderation, where it steals our peace and it steals our joy, where our minds can't focus and we kind of do some things that are unethical because of the fact that we just are trying to work it. We're trying to get our way. We're trying to be deceptive. We're trying to steal. We're trying to... How many of us are beginning to understand what sin is? And God is just saying, listen, come out of the world. And I'm going to tell you what it is to come out of the world in a minute. God is saying, come out of the world and come into my holiness. Don't desire, passionately desire things. God really just wants us to desire, passionately desire him and him only. He's like a jealous God and he doesn't want any other gods before him. And when we have this passionate desire for other things other than God, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, if we're not listening to this knock, if we're not beholding, trying to see, try to understand and try to acknowledge his presence, he's like a jealous God and he doesn't want any other gods before him. And so when we have this passionate desire for other things, this is what God is calling sin. This should be liberating. Because how many times do we kind of beat ourselves up because we're doing things? Oh, I went to the bar yesterday. Oh my God, I'm going to beat the hell out of myself. You know, how many times have we, you know, threw a bomb out there and got mad at a driver or, you know, flipped the bird or whatever? I mean, we condemn ourselves constantly throughout the day when we're trying to find God, when we're trying to walk this life of holiness, when we're trying to know him, we condemn ourselves and make ourselves feel not worthy enough to come to God. And God is saying, listen, I want you to cleanse yourself in your thought pattern, and I'm going to give you grace to realize that these things are okay. When God, you know, changed my life, he said, it's okay. I spoke a message the other week about, you know, when I used to try to walk in God's holiness, and I'd look at a girl and be like, ooh, and then he'd be like, oh, I can't look at her, oh. And I realized, wait a minute, it's okay if I can look at her. It's not a problem to look at someone who looks pretty. The problem is where I have this passionate desire where I can't control myself and I just think about it all day long, and then I gotta do other things to, because my mind is just torn over this area. How many people are beginning to follow sin? Because I want you to begin to really set yourselves free, because God is asking us to come in. God is asking us to draw to me, draw to God. Draw to God as we draw to him. God is saying, come to me so that I can be drawn to you. But what's holding us back is guilt. What's holding us back is shame. What's holding us back is condemnation, because we're trying to live a life. We're trying to have fun. We're trying to have fun. Listen, have fun. It's almost like God is saying, have fun, please. You've been beating yourself up too much, trying to find holiness, and all you're doing is finding religious works. All you're doing is beating yourself up, trying to find holiness, when really holiness comes by not passionately desiring things. Passionately desire me. This is what God is saying. Passionately desire me. Don't worry about all the other stuff. It's all cool. It says here, I'm going to share another verse here. In James chapter, I think it's two. Let me go to this one first. Yeah. James chapter 1, verse 15. That's what I'm looking for. But I'm going to start off with 12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptations, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, temptation is like the beginning of lust. Temptation is the beginning of sin. Temptation is having that passionate desire for something. Temptation is what begins you to desire it much. And that's what temptation is. So in order for you to really understand sin, you got to understand temptation. Because when you listen to the Lord's Prayer, Father, deliver me from temptation, deliver me from the evil one, and not lead me into temptation. And basically what that is give me strength to be able to control myself so that I don't fall into lustful desires. Give me strength that I don't fall into these lustful desires. And, you know, lustful desires can come into anything. Could be trying to please some of your friends. You know, trying to fit in. It could be a lustful desire. I mean, you have to understand what robs and steals our joy. What robs and steals us. And lustful desires can really fall into really any category. You just have to search your own heart and search your own soul and try to find out where things are steering you and directing you and leading you and guiding you. This is where sin begins. It's called temptation. This is where sin begins. It comes into temptation. So it says here, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor he himself tempts anyone. So this temptation comes from flesh, comes from the lust of the flesh. That's where temptation comes from. Or you can say that temptation comes from the world. Now, I'm going to tell you what the world is in a minute. So when I say temptation comes from the world, begin to understand that there's a place. Okay? There's a place. And we can live in the world, but not of the world. And this is what God is asking for us to do. To come into holiness, to be able to live in the world, but not of the world. And it says, let no one say when he is tempted that he is tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So he's tempted by his own desires and enticed. And when desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin. You see how it gives birth to sin? So it's almost like you can have, I want to call it eye candy. You can have eye candy. You can like something. You can desire something and you can like it. But that's almost like the beginning of temptation. All right, I want you to begin to understand. You can like something. Some people are drawn to things and others are drawn to things. We're not all drawn to the same thing, you see? So what might be temptation or the beginning of sin in your life might be different than my life. What might draw you into temptation and bring you into sin might be different than this one. So all of us have to work out our own salvation. I don't know what's good for you. You know, you might not be able to handle a bar, but yet I can go into a bar. You see? You might not be able to handle a cigarette or whatever, but I can be around people that smoke. You know, those kind of things. So we're not sure if these are, you know, temptations in your lives or are they sin in your life. Now I use drinking and smoking because they're like kind of an obvious religious, you know, bad thing supposedly in people's lives, but it could be other things. It could be, you know, anything. I mean, it could be even gossip. It could be backbiting. It could be being a busybody in somebody's life. You can have an issue of being a busybody and you could be tempted to, and now you're just like always wanting to get into people's business. Have you ever met somebody like that who just wants to get into your business all the time? They can't mind their own business. That might be temptation and sin in their life. But at the same time, you could probably care less what's going on in somebody's life. You could care less. So you got to look at what passionate desires are in your life. You have to take notice of what might be a passionate desire in your life, because that leads, that temptation, when you gotta have it, gotta know, or whatever it is, that's the beginning. That's temptation. So if we begin to understand what temptation is, we can begin to resist temptation, be not led by the evil one, and be free from sin. This is what God is desiring for us. He's desiring for us to come to him in that passion and not have this passion for other things in the world. And I'll explain this more further in detail in a minute. It says, so then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So sin doesn't exist yet. Sin is when you begin to desire and chase after it. Then it gives to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, this is the cool part because it's growing. it's like you got to be a busybody and you're just like out of control busybody, or you're just out of control. Brings forth death. And that's when you end up becoming, it becomes a problem. You know, for example, let's take smoking. You know, you desire to smoke. Next thing you know, you feel that passion. You're up to 4 packs a day. And then you lead to death. you got lung cancer. Alcoholism. Let's say, you know, you start out with a drink, your desire to go. Next thing you know, you're going to the bars. Next thing you know, you end up losing your relationship because you're drunk and or whatever. You get pulled over and you go to jail for drinking and driving, whatever it might be. And then yet it leads to death. The outcome of passionate desires leads down a bad road. And this is what God is trying to say. You can live in the world, but you can't be of the world. And when you can, like, surrender passionate desires, you know, remember, desire births sin. So if you can just, like, take desires out, you know, you either have it or you don't. You see? God wants your heart to be at peace. Is there things that are tearing your heart because you don't have it? How many of us here alone just tend to be upset? Our peace is gone, our joy is gone, because we just don't have it. How about even desiring a life? I feel like I need a life, and I don't have a life, and I desire a life. That could reach into sin. God wants us to come into a place of rest. He just wants us to be content. He just wants us to, like, just relax. When we have this passionate desire, it begins to start birthing sin. And then that's where it becomes death. We just need to relax. We got to, like, back off and relax and not be so full of tension. He wants us to just settle down. This is coming into holiness. When you can just relax, you come into holiness. And then it says, do not be deceived, my brother. It says, don't be deceived. These things seem to creep in and we get deceived. Now, this is the part where I wanted to come to. It's 1 John. I got to find it. It's like not the Gospel John, it's the other John, 1 John. There's 1 John, 2 John, and there's even a 3 John. But this is 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says here, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what happens is when we start getting these lustful desires and we are lustfully desiring so much of the things of the world, that God kind of fades away from us. You know, we heard today there's like a theme going on. God says, behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking. And I think God is saying, I want you to come to me. I want you to come. I want you to come to me. I'm holy and I want you to be holy. And the thing that makes us holy is when we come out of the world. To come out of the world, it's this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, that's when I said eye candy, and the pride of life. This is the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And then it says that we're in the last hour and then the Antichrist and all that stuff's coming. But I want to talk about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh is just exactly what I was saying earlier. It's just having this desire, this passionate desire, that steals your peace, steals your joy. Gotta have it. It's making you upset. Makes you run and chase after it. It just condoles you. That's the birthing of sin. If we can control ourselves in this area where we don't desire so much and we just kind of, well, Lord, so be it. If it's your will, let it be. If it's not your will, okay, no problem. Look, God wants us to desire things. Okay, don't get me wrong. Don't walk around saying, oh, I can't have anything. No, he wants you to have things. I want a lot of stuff. There's things that I want. I want a lot of stuff. How many here want a lot of stuff? Okay, that's good. You can have a lot of stuff. I want to do a lot of things. I want to do a lot of things. I want to do things that might not be even appropriate in the eyes of the church or religion. But I want to do a lot of things. I want to do a lot of things. Maybe I might want to buy a Harley or a bike that looks like a Harley. Maybe I want to ride and just go out to the sunset somewhere and ride. And maybe I might want to put on some leather and walk in a bar and go, yeah, that's right. That's right. What are you going to do? And maybe I might want to punch that guy in the face just because I want to. It's okay to want. It's okay to live. This is the whole point what God is saying today. It's okay to live. Man, I want the world to understand you can come to God and you can live too. You can want a lot of things. What do you think hope is? Hope is wanting. Man, I want to, you know, there's a mindset out there that people have that they're like, if I go to God, then I can't get the Harley, I can't wear the leather, I can't walk in the bar, I can't punch the guy in the face, I can't do any of these things. But God is saying, no, you can do that. It's okay, you can do that. Listen, you know, didn't Jesus flip tables in the temple? You know, you got to understand what God's holiness is and what man's holiness is. What God's way of life is and what man's thoughts that is the way of life. I want to be free. Now, like I said, not all things are edifying. Okay, so you got to be careful about what you do around others. It might not be all good for that individual. You got to be careful about what you do. You got to have discernment. You got to be able to live your life and be cautious about living your life because you don't want to cause others to lust, and then their lust takes them to a place of sin. For example, let's say I like to go to the casinos and gamble. How many people like to gamble? How many people can control their gambling? Good. How many people can't control their gambling? Let me see one hand. Well, I wouldn't take you to the casino. How many got my point? You see? I'm going to leave you out. I'm not going to invite you to the casinos. I'm going to realize that not all things are edifying. You can't handle it because sin will come into your life. And I don't want to bring you into sin. This is where religion or church got it all wrong. Because one person can't handle it, nobody can have it. Well, that don't happen in grace. God's like, if you can control yourself, then go have a party. But if you can't control yourself, you better sit home and subdue and work out your salvation and overcome your sin. And then be free from your sin. And when you're free from your sin, then maybe you can go try it again. How many people are grabbing what I'm saying? It's very important to understand what sin is, so that we can be free and not feel so guilty and feel ashamed and put this religion control on you, and you can't like let your hair grow long or shave your head, or you can't wear pants, or you have to wear a dress, or, you know, there are some that are just like out of control. God wants you to be just the way you are. He wants you to live just the way you are, but avoid those areas that cause lust. If it's consuming you and it's causing you to, like, that's all you think about, then you got to be careful. If you have, let's say, going to gamble, and you have a choice of putting food on your table, you know, or you can, you know, you got to make the right choice and put food on your table. You can't go there thinking, oh, I'm going to hit $1,000 and I'll buy food for me and for you. You know, no, you put food on your table first. And if you have any extra, then maybe you can go and play. Listen, lustful desires will then bring death. Lustful desires starts to conceive sin. And when sin is birthed, it's going to lead to death. This is, God wants us to know the mechanics of evil. God wants us to know what pulls our heart. And he says, I want to pull your heart. Me and me only. And if we can have God consume us, and where that's what we think about, and our heart is like in him, and everything else is, it's nice, but I don't have to have it. And you can live regulations as far as in a moderate way, where you can, like, not desire it to the point where it hurts you. You know, you got to be careful. Temptation is knocking at all of our doors. But we have to worry, we have to put temptation in a point of saying, well, you know what? It's not going to consume me. It's not going to put me in a place where it's going to steal my life. But we want to live a life. We want to have fun. We want to embrace life. You know, God gave us, you know, all these things in the world. I don't want to have to think that to come to God, I got to leave all these things in the world. I want to end the service knowing this. All things are good. All things are good. Everything is good. I feel like I want to tell everybody out there, alcohol is good. You want to drink? Drink. Go ahead. Just be careful. Don't lead to temptation to the point where you're now consumed and you become an alcoholic and you're an addict. You know? You want to do things? Do it. Do it in moderation. You want to go gamble? Gamble. You know? Do it in moderation. You want to dress? Dress. But dress in moderation. You know, dress any way you want. Do whatever you want. Just be in moderation. How much clearer could that be? You see, God wants us to live. He wants us to live. He wants us to live our life. And I know in my heart, God knows how much I desire him. And I'm going to live. I'm going to live. And it might not be, you know, acceptable in other people's eyes. You know, people might say, oh, aren't you a pastor? Yeah, I'm a pastor, but I'm not in bondage. Yeah, I'm a man of God, but I'm not in bondage. How many people are understanding me here? And I want the same life for you. I want you to be able to come to God in your heart and say, God, I want you to be the only thing I desire. And I know that if you're the only thing that I desire, then I know that you fulfill all my other desires. You know, we've been hearing from him, through him, to him today. And I truly believe he's saying, let me be your desire, and then I fulfill all your other desires. But let me be the number one desire. And if I'm the number one desire, all these other things will come to you. And so I believe that there are people here who have a lot of wants. And maybe we're not getting these wants because maybe we're putting these wants before him. if we're putting these wants before Him, and it's stealing our heart, it's stealing our peace, it's stealing our joy, it's stealing our comfort, it's stealing our life, then we are entering into sin. And then God is not going to like reward you. He's not going to give you those things. He's not going to release this into your life. He's not going to do it. So if we're lusting after things, it could be a business, it could be an individual, it could be a lifestyle, it could be anything. If we're lusting after these things, we should be content with what we have and hope and want, but be content. And if we're not content and we're frustrated and we're upset, we're angry, we're annoyed, we're bothered, we're impatient, well, guess what? We're entering into temptation. And we might even enter into sin, depending on how bad you wanted it. We might enter into sin. And then if it entered into sin, no matter how bad you want it, it may lead you to death. And that's why we got to be careful about how we live our life in this area of passionate desire. Remember, that's sin. Not the alcohol, not the gambling, not your wants. It's the desires, the passionate desires, the things that make you go overboard. How many people have grabbed that? So, leaving today, let's live. Let's live our lives. Let's live. Listen, it could be having a relationship with your own wife or husband. You know how many relationships are robbed? Thank God my wife and I have a good relationship. But you know how many relationships are robbed because of religion? They can't go in a certain direction. You know? It's sad. In my heart, it's sad. We need to get away from religion. We need to break away from traditions of laws. We need to get out of these things so that we can be free and have a life. Amen? Amen. Let us just bow our heads for a moment. Father, I thank you, Lord, for those that have an ear to hear. Behold, you stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears, you'll come in. And not only will you come in, but you'll dine with us. Lord, I ask that you drop this grace on us and those that are listening. You drop that grace on us so that we can live our life, so that we can be free and be who we are, not full of judgment that we, because we can't do it, we judge others because they're doing it. But let us be able to embrace and be free, and then embrace those that are in the world, so that we can bring them to salvation, so that we can bring them to this grace, so that we can have this mercy. Lord, don't separate us from the world itself, because everyone is good. It's the grace. And we need this grace. We need the knowledge. We need to know how to live. And teach us what temptation is, so that when the desire begins to steal our thoughts, and that's all we think about, when the desire starts to steal our heart, and that's all we do is want to move to that direction, and be led by that direction, and we can't put it down. We become addicted. Lord, set us free from sin. Set us free from these passionate, selfish, willed-powered desires, so that we can come out of sin and we can come into holiness. Deliver us from this evil one, I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm going to ask Pastor Sam if he would come up and give us a closing. And if I have anything to say, I'm going to leave us with this. Live. Live. Live to the fullest and enjoy life. Enjoy it. And then at the same time, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Remember, God wants a relationship with us. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Real quick, there's another good one. There's actually a desire and a lust to lose weight or about your physical appearance. You know, that's a huge one. I know a guy from college who gained a lot of weight and hasn't left the house in 6 months because of the way he looks, because of the guilt he carries on himself. And he said, when I get in the car, all I think about is every eye's on me, every eye's on me. And it'll cripple you. It'll put you in a house. It'll put you in depression. You keep following these lusts of the world. You know, when you follow the lusts of the world, you're under the world's law, which is death and decay. You know, I was talking to Kurt this week, and God put it in my heart that we're made in the image of God. We're made in the very image of God. He didn't say the spirit, but the image of God. We're made in the image of God. And that, in the Bible, there are men who lived 1,000 years, 800 years, 700 years, 500 years. And we can't make it past 60 without having issues. You know? This is a message to live. To stop letting these desires of the world that try to assimilate you to the world, that try to connect you to the world, and let them go. They're not going to give you anything except for temporary satisfaction. Real satisfaction comes from within. You know, he says this. He says desire in the Bible. He does say desire. Desire spiritual gifts. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, self-control. He says, against this there is no law. Against these things there is no law that can come against you. That's where freedom comes in, amen? So, Father, if you just hear our hearts today, Father, let us start recognizing these desires that turn into lust inside of us. Let us recognize them within us, and let us start practicing self-control to resist the enemy so the enemy has to flee. Give us that gift today, Father. For you said, I desire that you grow, that you produce fruit. But greater than that, that your fruit would remain. Let our fruit remain, Father. Give us the strength to overcome our desires that turn to lust. Let us get over ourselves and stop wanting to be like the world, but be set apart with you. And like Mary Beth said, let us cultivate that time with you. Let us spend more and more time with you and less with the world. And then we'll worry about you and not worry about the world anymore. It really comes down to how much time we spend with you. The more time you spend with you, the more we want to be pleasing to you. The more we spend time in the world, the more we want to be pleasing to the world. Give us that desire, Father, to be like you. In your name we pray. Have a great week, guys. Happy 4th of July.